Lessons from the American South for Healing Our Nation from Jerry Salyer at the American Conservative Magazine. All right, I last hour shared with you the paragraph that I thought was most striking about it. If you try to take the Confederacy out of what remains of our putrid Union, and you try to take all vestiges of the American South out of it, which they've tried to do and they've been successful, you don't have a union. And you don't have any, you don't have a union worth preserving. That's one thing. And you don't have one of the most important parts of the original union. You know, that angry northern wasp mentality of Adams and all the other Massachusetts and people up in the far northeast there was tempered by the southern genteel charm. It was. Yeah, they also had slavery. Okay, yeah, they had slavery. Okay, there's nothing you can do about that now. So why don't we just go ahead and admit, yeah, they had it. And let's talk about the good parts. By the by, many slaves. You know what? I'm not even going to say it because there's no way to say it without someone taking it the wrong way. So I'm not even going to say it. Read.
I wonder into the conversation, and that's going to be it.
Yeah, that's right. I would just say I can't believe they haven't banned all works of Samuel Langhorne Clemens, also known as Mark Twain. Read some Mark Twain on the subject. Fiorella was talking the other day about Rudyard Kipling, who was known to be a racist, a vehement racist. But when Rudyard Kipling went to India and met actual Indians, he thought they were charming people. So much so he wrote books. He put them in books. You cannot take the South out of America, is his point. This was once understood on all sides, says Mr. Salyer. After the war between the states, certainly there was, let's call it the War of Northern Aggression, Mr. Salyer, a conscious effort at reconciliation on the part of many in both the North and the South there. What we need is a resumption of fraternity, wrote ex-Confederate General James Longstreet in his memoirs. The hearty restoration and cultural cordial cultivation of neighborly, brotherly relations, faith in Jehovah, and respect for each other and God grant that this happy vision that delighted the soul of the sweet singer of Israel may rest like a benediction upon the North and the South, upon the blue and the gray. Where Longstreet and many other Southerners agreed to serve the victorious Union, Unionists chose to respect their defeated former enemies for their valor and even conceded some measures of merit to the ideal of local loyalty. As a result of this reconciliation, following the war, Confederate veterans were appointed or retained in public office by 11 U.S. presidents. As author Stephen Hood has painstakingly documented in Patriots Twice, former Confederates and the building of America after the Civil War. From the ranks of Confederate veterans come three associate justices and one chief justice of the United States Supreme Court, a Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives, and two U.S. Attorneys General, one of whom established the institution which would evolve into the FBI. By the by, I just give you a side note on this. William Wirt Jr., or the second, the great-grandson of Patrick Henry, was an officer under Stonewall Jackson. Look it up. The Randolph side of Jefferson's daughter's surviving family, so TJ's great-grandson, a Randolph, was a general in the Confederate Army. So the only surviving heirs of Jefferson and Henry were officers in the Confederate Army under either General Lee or Jackson. What about other Southerners? Well, General Robert E. Lee is the grand-nephew of who? Richard Henry Lee. Better chart play. Stop with the history lessons. The kids don't like it. Who is Richard Henry Lee? Why should we care? Well, in June of 1776, Richard Henry Lee, a delegate from Virginia to the Second Continental Congress, got up and said, I think we ought to break with the mother country. Enough of this debate and crap. Let's just do this. And they said, you got a plan? He goes, yeah, let me read it to you. And then he introduced what's called the Lee Resolution. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, not going to read the rest, last paragraph of the Declaration. I talked about it on Tuesday's show. Read the Declaration, the first, all of it, all the way up until the charges against the king. Why are you leaving the Union? And then the declaratory legal part, which is contained only in the last paragraph, that's the Lee Resolution. Well, Robert E. Lee is the nephew of the guy that wrote the Lee Resolution. You want to kick him out and his legacy and his memory out of America? We're going to kick out you're going to kick out Richard Henry Lee? And by the way, Richard Henry Lee's brother was a decorated officer in Washington's army. His name was Light Horse Harry Lee, they called him. I can tell you people are thrilled about my history conversations here. 844-527-8723. So to restore, number one, to secure Trump's second term, and to restore this union, this unity that the banana republic installation regime man, Joe Biden, keeps droning on endlessly about, you got to restore the Confederacy. There's simply no other way. And if you're not going to restore the Confederacy, or you're not going to allow it, as right now, as I speak, there are men conspiring at universities and schools and institutions across the United States to banish or to completely scrub or remove any vestige or trace of the American South and the Confederacy. If you want it that way, fine. Go ahead and do it, but you're going to do it without us. Gentlemen, we must make this move, and we must make it clear. And if you don't, then you're a coward. You'll probably wear a mask when you go into 7-Eleven to get a donut. Loser. Mr. Salyer continued, enlisted men aside, eight former Confederate officers served as generals in the United States Army during the Spanish-American War. And he gives more. You know, there were mayors and governors, what have you, et cetera, et cetera. The post-bellum reconciliation such figures represent has mostly unraveled, in no small part thanks to conservative establishmentarians who, for years, have refused to raise a peep or, in many cases, collaborated during the leftist campaign against Southern identity. That's true. They're not rhinos. They're conspirators. Even President Trump's belated June 26 executive order for the protection of monuments was obviously crafted to imply the administration's total indifference vis-a-vis illegal activity directed at Confederate targets, public property, or no. So far as the old reconciliation gives way, now he concludes, to what might be called a soft genocide, it becomes inevitable that America should fall. For per the woke perspective, the real America of history was guilty of granting former Confederates an honorable, if tragic, position in the national story, with ostensibly conservative pundits now in the habit of citing unrepentant Stalinist W.E.B. Du Bois' denunciation of Robert E. Lee. We should hardly expect globalist organs such as the National Review to lament the death of the old republic. That's why I keep calling these people out as the fake fraud conservatives that they are. They're not conservatives. They're not your friend. They're not on your side. And that includes the most despicable example of this are those that are in the employ of these supposedly conservative icons, National Review, American Conservative, Fox News and all that, who have Irish heritage. What in the hell is wrong with you? The Irish went through the same as the Southerners went through. And now you side with the English? Dude, you're not an Irishman. You know what? You want to go back to Ireland. I hope they find you, and I hope they do to Irish traitors what they used to do, and I hope they do it to you. And you want to write books about, ooh, I miss my Ireland homeland. I miss the Ireland of my grandfather. No, you don't, you fat sissy. Oh, but let's lionize and elevate the canonize the fat coward that is J.D. Flynn. My buddy's going to be on his show Monday, Mike P. from Restoring the Faith Media. You know what he has as his Twitter tag? Have you seen it, Mrs. O'Connell? His husband, father, former Marine, and blocked by J.D. Flynn. I'm like, I tried to get him to block me. He won't block me. The supplanting of organic, historic American communities by a purely abstract, ideological state has always been the end game for the neocons, Mr. Salyer concludes, no less than for their de facto leftist allies. So I have had it with these people, and I don't care what they think of me.